Well, thank the Lord this morning for His salvation. Thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. And thank the Lord that He was sent to save you and save me and our soul. The song is very good for us. Please, Sister Jennifer said something to the effect, sometimes the Lord has to help us or get us to stand still so that He can work. And I find in my life, we can get kind of antsy at times, nervous, afraid, anxious. Probably that was a besetting sin of Saul in the Old Testament. He just got a little antsy, and he let that get ahead of what God wanted to do. Lord, help me to stand still. And I believe one scripture said, stand still and see the salvation of God. Thank the Lord for that. Last year, during the winter time, it seemed like the Lord has impressed me with a message, or more than that actually, of the blessing and the knowledge of God, that we are known of God, that God is aware of us, He understands us. We're not forgotten, and God knows absolutely all about us. Along with that thought, the Lord has given me in messages and thoughts the blessing that we can have in knowing God, and how we must attribute that to the fact of the mercy of God and the love of God and the care of God. And the fact that God knows us and He knows we need Him, therefore He wants us to know Him, and He has made Himself visible, and He has made Himself touchable through Jesus Christ. It's a great blessing that God knows us and that we are known of God and that we can know Him. That's an honor, I thought. It's our salvation. It is our joy when we come to that place in our life. It is our hope. If God does not know us and we do not know God and His fullness, we're in trouble. It is our strength to be known of God and in return know God. It's our victory over the perils of life and the tumult of one's own mind and the insult of sin. It is, in essence, life. And it's not life as you and me perhaps at first conceive it, but it is eternal life. This is eternal life, that we might know the Lord and be known of Him and have a communion with Him and a fellowship with Him. That is what gives us eternal life. And all of this comes about because God was willing to reveal Himself to us. I'd like to use that and those thoughts as a kind of a foundation along the same lines, but change it a little bit today. You and me are here for a short period of time. There's a time in our life that we really know nothing or know anything. We are creatures, or babies, I should have said, children, that react to stimulus, and that's just about it. Hunger, pain, cold. As we grow, our understanding and our ability to think and apply patterns mature in us. I don't know where that begins exactly. It's probably on up in a few years, though. It's not just the first 2 or 3 years. Then, as we get older, if we live long enough, and sometimes if we don't live that long, we begin to go backwards in our abilities. You ever notice that? We don't run as fast, we don't jump as high. We don't think quite as quick, perhaps. There's a seasoning in that. There's a maturity in that. But the reality is, we have a space of time to operate in. And for everyone, it's different. And I would be foolish to say at 12 and at 70, it's the gap. We've had presidents over 70, so we know it's subjective to a lot of things. But my thought right now is every one of us have a window of opportunity. For every one of us, it has different lengths and different aspects. I've heard of people getting saved at 6 years old. I will not discount that. When does the Lord and how is the Lord able to begin to deal? I'm not sure. Is there an age bracket at all? But there is a space of time that we are able to understand, articulate things, grasp, put ideas into motion, to think and come up with new thoughts. And that's what I want us to talk about today a little bit, is that opportunity that you and me have to know God. And I don't mean to know God just from the Bible standpoint of a Bible story in Egermeyer's storybook. Not just to know God from the sense of a casual acquaintance. But I'm thinking about an opportunity to know God in His fullness. In a full revelation to your soul and to mine of His omnipotence, of His omniscience, if I'm saying that right, His all wisdom. To be able to fully understand the height and the depth and the breadth and the width and the magnitude of the Godhead that is revealed to us. You and me have this window or this time frame. And I want to encourage us today to make the most of that. The man of old said, remember now thy Creator in thy youth. Remember Him while you're still young, while you still have your faculties. Before the evil days, the old age comes, the senility, the Alzheimer's, the stroke, the tumults of life that scar and batter a man to the point that he or she becomes bitter and unapproachable by God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days come. Think about that some today. I think it's real good in thinking this way, in thinking about this thought, is to recognize and be conscious of the flight of time and how really short a duration it is. Now, I know you young folks and young adults have heard this, and don't take it wrong. It is rather hard in our humanity for it to sink in. I know that. But the reality of it is, it's the truth. It will be here and be gone and the door closed really before you know it. The door is open. And I want to encourage us this morning as a congregation right here in this town, in this locale, to redeem and take full advantage of an opportunity to know God in all His glory, all His beauty, all His encouragement, and all His love. To pay whatever price is required, incorporate whatever discipline of the grace of God we may need, to apply ourselves to understanding what God has for them that love Him. And that you and me not be satisfied with anything but the very best of God in our life. The grace, the truth, the love, the joy, the peace. And not settle for an experience whereby we have heard or I understand so and so about the Lord. But to know Him in His fullness in our hearts. His victory over self and His victory over sin. The joy that is absolute complete in Jesus Christ. The power that rises above the things that might come against you and me. Over in Psalms 90 and 10, it says it this way, the days of our years are 70 And if by reason of strength they be fourscore, yet in their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You ever been to an airport? New Orleans airport's got a street or a highway runs right beside it. And it runs the full length of, I'll say, the north-south runway. So if you want to, you can park there, and people do take pictures of planes taking off. And you can sit there and watch planes take off, big, long, wide shoulder. And I thought about that in relationship to this little thought and message this morning. You and me are kind of like that airplane. It'll taxi out of the berth and come down to the end of the runway and get clearance to take off, and there she goes. Pilot pours the fuel into the engines. They roar, and you can watch it. It picks up speed, picks up speed, picks up speed, and after a while, in just a matter of seconds, actually, you see those wheels. They're inch, 2 inch, foot, 2 foot, 5 feet, 10 feet off the ground. They start retracting the landing wheels, and then all of a sudden, it really rises up, and it flies away, and it's gone. And after a while, it's just a little contrail of black smoke. And shortly after that, the memory of that plane is gone. You and me will fly away one day. Right now, we're on the runway. And right now, we have a possibility of being able to avoid all the troubles that befall us that would hinder our upward flight. But we're like that airplane, and soon we will fly away. And you know this, and I'm being redundant, I know that. But you know what I find? People don't live like they know that. We don't live like we know. One of these days, we're leaving here, folks, and we're going to be gone forever. And we're not going to come back. There's not going to be a second landing, another touchdown. But man, if 70 or 80 years, but he's going away from here. And where are we going to go? And how are we going to know the way? And what provisions are we making for that? Job said it this way, that his days, Job 7 and 6, were swifter than the weaver's shuttle. And you watch that shuttlecock go through that weaving, and it's got a pattern it's making, and all of a sudden it's done. And it's folded up and put in the market, or whatever the person wants to do with that weaving. And we're like that. A pattern is being weaved in our life, and God wants it to be patterned after righteousness and joy in Him. The Lord wants to be the architect of our life, and He wants to be the one that sets the pattern and makes the weaving a very beautiful thing. But remember this, it's fast, and then it'll go away. Job also said it's faster than the post, or faster than the letter that comes in. And then they flee away. I know, again, this is redundant. But life gets by so quick. Can you look today at back in your life and see things that you meant to do? Things that you wish you really should have done? Events that should have been taken care of differently? Do you look back and realize that the opportunity in that door now is possibly closed and there's no returning to that place? Think about eternity. Think about if I do not make and redeem and make precious the time allotted me, the regret and the sorrow that will befall a soul that fails to take hold of the opportunity of knowing Jesus Christ in His fullness, in His glory, in His redemptive power, in His salvation, and in all the strength of the eternal life that He has to offer us. I am afraid for myself, I am afraid for mankind, that we might take it too lightly, that we might pass our time here idling. Idling as in relationship to the Lord. perhaps very, very, very busy in this world, but idling when it comes to the Lord. Taking care of events and things, jobs and things that have a soundness to them to a degree. And forget and put our heart and our relationship with God on idle. And one of the definitions of idle is no work, no labor, no effort. I'd like to read over in Ecclesiastes a moment. Again, re-saying some things that have already been said. Ecclesiastes 5 and 7. I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes 12, 5 and 7. This is picking up in mid-thought. Talks about remembering our Creator now. And when there shall be afraid of that which is high, fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about in the street. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, and the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Did you know one thing most people don't like to think about is their own mortality? That's really an unpleasant thought when you think about it. I agree with you. It's not really pleasant to think about our own short period of time and our mortality. I have found in life we get little jars. We get little awakening episodes. It may be an accident. It may be sickness. It could be a heart attack. It could be something that is traumatic enough to make you and me realize our mortality. God wants us to not be afraid of our mortality. But God wants to give us reassurance over and above our mortality that we can trust in Him for eternal life. The Lord does not want His saints fearing death. But how are we not going to fear death if we don't know the author of eternal life and the giver of the promises? We need to find a place in our life that we are earnestly contending for faith, the faith, and drawing near to God with every purpose of our heart, knowing it's in Him we live, in Him we breathe, it's in Him we have our being, and our purpose, our hope, our satisfaction. We miss it so many times as people trying to find hope and satisfaction in our feelings and our emotions, in what our hands have accomplished, what our bank account may look like, how happy am I, how sad am I. And happiness and joy are products of God Himself living in us, you and me knowing Him and understanding Him. He said man is going to go to his long home. Think about it in a relationship. Draw me a graph if you can. Comparing eternity to 70 or 80 years. Draw me a picture that would illustrate the significant difference between eternity and 70 or 80 years. We're going to our long home. We're like that jet that's leaving the runway, never to return again. We're going to take our flight. God wants us to have confidence on that day. God wants us to have faith on that day. God wants us to have a great measure of hope on that day. And how does it happen? It becomes in knowing Him and the power of His Christ and His salvation. It comes by trusting Him, believing in Him, and walking with Him. It said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. You know, there's a lot in the world today about finances. And I wonder sometimes, as people, it's possible to, well, what shall I say? Spend more time on our earthly retirement and our earthly 401k than we do on our heavenly home and preparing a place there. having it assured in there, in Christ, in that sense of the word. As people, it's so easy for us today to crowd in all we can into life. I get a little tired of hearing it. I'm so busy. I conclude that's my fault. That's your responsibility. If I'm too busy, if you're too busy and we know it, and if it's crowding out me taking care of my responsibility to know God and to be filled with His love and His joy, folks, I need to stop what I'm doing that's making me so busy. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to leave my 401. I don't have one, but if I had it, I'm going to leave it. All these things that we crowd into a space of time, really, I wonder if we're doing total justice to any of them. That it brings satisfaction to us. People fret and worry because they don't get enough done. They don't. And I wonder if in so doing, we're actually doing justice to anything. Maybe in life, we ought to pick out a few things that God has ordained for us to be good at, proficient at, and concentrate on those things instead of trying to do so much and in the process crowding out our relationship with the Lord. Crowding out our prayer time. And I mean prayer. I mean confessing and begging and pleading and worship to God, adoring Him in prayer. You know, life can get so hectic as, "Hi, Lord, this is Stan. I'm on my way out, but I wanted to touch base with you before I left. Bless me today. Goodbye. Amen." No, God doesn't. That's not what He's looking for. That's not what He's commissioned to bless. We need to go to the Lord on a daily basis. "Lord, the clock just stopped. And here I am. I need help for today. I want to worship You for the day." I can't tell you how to pray, of course. But I wonder sometimes in our zest for life, zest to get something else done, zest to do this and zest to do that, that we don't say, "Lord, You're just going to have to wait till I slow down." God help us. We've got an opportunity, folks, to know God. We must, and I'm saying this for me, we must redeem this time. Because that's it. If you're 21 today, you're going to be 21 for a year, and then you're going to be 22 if the Lord permits. If you're 70 today, you're going to be 70 for 1 year, and then if the Lord permits, you're going to be 71. And after a while, that's it. And we sometimes act as if I'm going to be here forever. Lord, help us. Get into my thoughts some more now. And again, you know all this. Peter said, "Stirring up your pure minds." Not telling us something we don't know. But folks, it's time for us to wake out of our slumber and get to know God. You see what happens, and, you know, five fingers back this way, okay? Here's what happens to us. We forget. We don't get stirred up. And the first thing you know, we get lethargic in our relationship to God. Well, the bottom line is, that's the only thing that really matters in life. If you and me develop a relationship of holiness and intimacy with God, everything else will be okay. You'll be a good husband. You'll be a good wife. You'll be a good father or mother. You'll be a good child. You'll be a good employee. You will have joy. You will have peace. The world can come against you and you'll have victory. It's contingent on knowing the Lord. Read with me scripture we all know. The Lord's impressing me to say it again. And I say it to us in the fear of the Lord. It's time to wake up. It's time to arise out of our slumber. You know, we got health care in America. We got Social Security in America. We got transportation in America. We've got it easy in America. They all have their limitations, but yes, we have it easy in America. It's almost the devil's got us in his arms and rocking us. God help us to awake out of our sleep. It's time for you and me to redeem this precious commodity called time. Over in, I'm going to get there, Ephesians the 5th chapter, the 15th verse. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Understand, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This word circumspectly has various meanings. It means to walk precisely, exactly. It means to walk accurately, carefully, determinedly. It means to walk diligently. The conduct of our life should be have a circumspect air to it in reference to God, in reference to our Creator, to our benefactor, to our eternal life. And we get distracted. And we look around at all these things that we could do, should do, have to do, want to do. And we put God aside. And our whole business on this earth is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's in a nutshell, but that's it, folks. The Lord has made Himself available to us. He said to redeem this time. The New International Version of the Bible said it this way, making the most of every opportunity. Jesus talked about why the seed didn't prosper. Because the cares of this life. We become a fool when we place more importance on the cares of this life, even if there's no sin in it, than we do on the care of our soul and our relationship with God. One writer talked about Abner, and he said, "Have Abner played the fool? I don't want to be, by my actions, designated by God fool, unwise, unlearned, unskilled. Have we come to a place in my life or your life that the cares of this life have some way or another undercut, subverted our relationship with God? It's a daily experience and a daily walk. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I want to tell you something you already know. We'll be accountable for it too. Not because I said it, but because God said it. The days are evil. The days are not conducive to my spiritual welfare or yours. We've got to take it by force, effort, and we've got to press. We've got to contend, and we've got to strive to enter in at the straight gate. We've got to put forth every effort we know how to put forth, begging God for wisdom and grace to do it. We've got to spend time in the Word of God, spend quality time in the Word of God. We've got to stay on our knees till the Blesser blesses us. We've got to listen and we've got to watch and we've got to pray. It's not Brother Stanley saying this. Jesus Christ, He said, watch and pray. We have to understand that we're in a place where the devil get us in his rocking chair and we think we're doing pretty good. We're healthy, got things kind of going our way, and all the time we're naked, and we're blind, and we're suffering from a lack. When I say we now, I'm not pointing any fingers, I'm saying people. We're suffering from a lack of knowledge and closeness with God. And then when the tempter comes around, we find ourselves vulnerable, at least to his approach to his thoughts. Then he said this, understanding what the will of the Lord is. We could say a lot about that, what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is to redeem the fallen, whomever, wherever. The will of the Lord is to dwell in the heart of His children. The will of the Lord is to occupy me as a holy temple, dedicated and set aside for the service and the worship of God. You see, there's something we want to understand about a temple. It is a building, generally, that is set aside, dedicated, and sanctified for one purpose, and that's worship. God wants us to be His temple, dedicated, sanctified, set apart to the worship of God. Our thoughts to the worship of God. Our purpose to the worship of God. Our words to the worship of God. Everything about us is a temple to the wherein is contained the Spirit of God, that our life is a worship to God. That's what it means, in part, to be a temple. Is a place, building, and we're the building of God. And we are to be the habitation of God through the Spirit. And God wants that. So what is the will of God? It's our restoration, our redemption, and to make you and me the temple of God. A place that is evident. The worship of God is paramount in that person. In that temple, it is dedicated to the worship of God. And we've got this space of time to go about doing that. May the Lord help us today to fulfill that purpose. Jesus Christ, of course, said many, what shall I say, wonderful words, truthful words. That's not quite what I'm thinking about. Provoking words, profound words. Sometimes we can become a little cavalier about God. Yeah. I get ready. Yeah. He understands me. When time gets right, I'll do something about it. Sometimes we can kind of casually consider God as, well, no, I'm not putting Him away. I'm just putting Him on hold for the time being. God's going to take care of me. And before it's all over with, boy, I am going to be the strongest saint. Listen to what John said. I wrote concerning what Jesus said. John 6 and 44. Lest we become cavalier, lest we become nonchalant about the calling of God. John 6 and 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That's quite a statement. That should erase mine and your presumptuousness. There's no place in our relationship with God about being presumptuous with Him, of His endurance, of His long suffering, and of my, well, I can get where I want to be when I get ready. Jesus said if we expect to come to Him, it is contingent on the Father through the Holy Ghost convicting and drawing us. We have this opportunity today while it's called today. The writer of Hebrews warned us more than once, harden not your heart as in the provocation. To take advantage of this day, not to take it as a casual thing that we feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost telling us to draw closer, to quit doing some things, allow much more time for God, cut out some of these things that really, when it's all said and done, will be fuel for the burning at the best. Things that are standing in our way and hindering us, excuses and hurts and pride and the things that we think we've got to do and must do and emotions. Lay aside every weight and every sin that so doth easily beset us and run with patience the race, run with endurance the race that is set before us. Because if we're going to be saved, it's contingent on the Father in heaven drawing us to Jesus Christ. If you and me are going to be victorious, it's contingent on the Lord coming down and being with us. We need to covet that. We need to express our love for God with the, all the emotional worship we can. And I'm talking about from our heart. And I will raise him up. The victory is in this last day when the time shall be no more. He'll raise us up. It is written in the prophet, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. It seems to be a natural response to you and me submitting to God, studying God and worshiping God, entrusting ourselves with God, that we will naturally, as a product of that, be drawn closer to Jesus Christ. And that's our eternal life. That's our eternal life. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath eternal, everlasting life. I am the bread of life. So sometimes it comes down, folks, to what we're eating. The bread of this world, the bread of my own understanding, the bread of my thinking that I've got to do so much that I hadn't got time for God. Or are we dining at the bread of life's table? Are we eating of Jesus Christ? Is His words meat to us? Is His Spirit life-giving force to us? Where are we eating today? When's the last time you had a good meal with Jesus? When's the last time you just poured out your hunger to Jesus? When is the last time you've confessed you've been eating the wrong food to Jesus? Me too. All of us. When is the last time you've worshiped Him for the plate that He has served you? For the bread that He has given you? When is the last time we have desired it more than anything else and hungered after it? I am the bread of life. It's time for us to recognize our redemption is nigh, and the end of my life and yours is closer than we think. We don't have the time to squalor away in the luxury of trying to do what I want to do. And one of these days, me and God's going to get together, and I'm going to really pay attention. I'm really going to start growing. Did you know there comes a place in a man or woman's life when growth stops? Physically? Oh, we can get fatter. But we stop healthy growth at some point in our life. And there's all kind of exercise programs and all these things you can do to kind of extend it for some. Genetics comes into this, we know that. But folks, there comes a time that growth, healthy growth, begins to ebb out of us. We don't want that to happen spiritually. We don't want that to happen because of neglect in our soul. We've got to redeem and take full advantage of this day. Day, this is the day, Lord, that you made it. I'm going to turn it back over to you. How many of us remember trading stamps? Some of us do. Green stamps, S&H, gold bond, I don't know what all there was, top value stamps. You bought a dollar's worth of something, you got a stamp. And when you got a book of stamps, you went to their catalog, or you went through it and found, oh, for a book of stamps, I can get a cribbage game, or I can get a checker game, you know. Oh, if I get 100 books of stamps, I can get a new chair. You know? So you took however many stamps it required to get that new chair, book and a half, they go to a book and a quarter. You know? Take those books and you'd go up to that redemption boy you'd been saving and he'd say, I want my new chair. You got your new chair. You redeem those stamps for something you really want. Do you really want salvation today? Let's cash in our time. Let's cash it in and say, Jesus, I want eternal life more than anything else. You think about the seriousness of God and His appeal to us. We are totally dependent on God and His involvement with us. Without it, we perish. Without it, we cannot find our way home. Jesus Christ, God the Father, is alone the bread and the water of life. Jesus Christ, God the Father, His Word, that alone is truth. Trying to build our life on what we think and what we believe is foolish. He alone is truth. In Him alone is the fullness of grace. Grace to help us, aid us, assist us. Grace to forgive us. Grace to cause us to be strong in the Lord. John 12 and 35. John 12 and 35. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. This word believe, I know you've heard me say this recently. To entrust, to be persuaded of, to place confidence in. That's what God wants us to do today. This little bit of time we call life, entrusted in Him. I think a fair question to ask yourself and allow God to ask you and me, what are we believing in today? What are we entrusting in? Now, this word believe means more than I know gravity exists and I trust in it or I believe in it. What are we entrusting ourselves to? The jurisdiction and the guidance and the light of our life. The Lord said, while we have this time, while we have a light with us, entrust yourself. Depend on this light. That means I've got to be willing, at the peril of a little fear, to cast myself upon Him. I've got to see Him more valuable and more precious than anything that exists. I've got to admire Him and worship Him and place my confidence in Him, that anything that's contrary to that has to be let go. Anything. Anything. Have we come to that place? Have I? Have you? Can God call in your life today for anything and you give it to Him? How about what you think? How about your job? How about your money? Your finances? How about your persuasions? How about your anger? How about those things that make you sad and inhibit you? Can God say today, I want them? Give them to me? And can we turn loose of them? Be able to entrust Him with our life. He said, while we have this opportunity, take advantage of it. And do that. If you and me want to inherit the blessings of the Son of God and be in His child, we've got to take advantage of this opportunity. Did you know every opportunity, every moment you spend outside the kingdom, you're forfeiting that much joy in the kingdom? Every time you put off getting saved, you're forfeiting that much time to have right standing with God. And you come closer to the edge of a place, maybe in your life, where you say, I just can't believe anymore. You may think that doesn't happen. It happens. We can put all of our eggs in the basket called life and doing the will of the flesh till it comes down to a time in our life that we know we're leaving here and we've entrusted life so much that we're not able to have faith that God will redeem our soul. Oh, Lord, help us today to redeem this thought, this life, this time. Last scripture, last thought here, and the Lord gave us of the seriousness of time, the opportunity, and redeeming the light, taking advantage of it, found in Matthew, the 6th chapter. I've often wondered about it, and I don't have all the answers. But in some ways, it's a very frightening verse. Every one of us has the ability to think and to reason and come up with ideas, to plan. We have the ability to listen to other people's ideas and accept or reject and to pattern ourselves after all manner of things. We have the ability to experience and experiment. We have the ability to see others and admire something. We just have all kind of information, and I'm going to call that light for the sake of the thought right now. And I'll try to follow up on that. Have you ever thought about the kinds of light there are in the literal sense? I'm way less than proficient. But there's all laser is light. X-ray is light. It's energy. Light is energy. There's light you can see, light you can't see, ultraviolet and things like that. There's all manners of light, and depending on what light you and me are able to perceive, it gives us perspective on something. This light is not true light in here in the sense it gives true colors. And we may think something is one color inside this chapel and go outside in the bright, brilliant sunlight and find it's not really that color after all. There's all kind of light. There's all kind of ideas. There's all kind of assumptions. There's all kind of things you can do. And this scripture we're about to read tells us to be very careful of our source of light. Because the wrong kind of light can damn us through eternity. Matthew 6 and 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, and I don't know that Jesus could have said it more emphatically and there's words to describe it, but listen to what he said. How great is that darkness? The darkness goes in beyond mistakes in this life. It goes into the fear and the haunts and the darkness of everlasting torment. If you and me do not know the light of life, if you and me do not worship at His feet, if you and me do not spend time with Him and worship Him from the heart and absorb His light, His word, His instructions, He said, how great is that darkness? Because, folks, every one of us is going to get light from somewhere. We're going to get some kind of understanding. We're going to get some kind of reasoning. We're going to be led by something, every one of us. We can't help it. We're just going to do that. Jesus exhorts us to have the true light. Then he went on, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Lord, help us today to understand. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. The glorious light of the gospel is desiring to shine on every one of us. But if you and me start imbibing my thinking, your thinking, trusting in things of this life, being presumptuous on God, cavalier about the call of God, not redeeming the time, we're going to gather in light. We're going to gather in information. We're going to gather in ideas and opinions. And they're going to be foundations for us. And we're going to build on those foundations. And they become sinking sand. And the flood of life will arise. The flood of eternity will arise. And how great will be the fall at that point. Because we made a choice not to know Jesus Christ and God when we had an opportunity. Please, today, while it is called today, take advantage of knowing God. Not just in a whimsical, hi Jesus, by Jesus way, but as the indwelling presence of God through the Spirit, as the comforter and the advocate, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as all wisdom and all knowledge and all comfort, of the one who was able to open the seals. What a wonderful opportunity. The Lord has opened the seals. Opened the book and loosened the seals thereof. And the angels rejoiced. May we rejoice with the angels today. Hallelujah! Now I can enter into the presence of God and I can be known. Know as I am known. I can understand Him more fully now. Today, young man, young woman, young parents, get to know Jesus as you've never known Him before. Please don't be satisfied that you've arrived, you haven't. There's so much to know about Him, so much to understand, so much of me yet to give over to Him. May the Lord help each one of us today to not be blinded and rocked to sleep by the God of this world. And the Hebrew writer said, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Then he asked this question, how are we going to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Does your relationship with the Lord, does my relationship with the Lord today suffer from neglect? Is the neglect it suffers a result not of carnal transgressions of sin, but the cares of life? Light has slipped in that is really darkness. Has the neglect come about from a lack of truly entrusting oneself to God? Be encouraged this morning. The Lord wants to give us light. He wants to be light. He wants to be life. He wants to be everything for us. So my burden today is, as God has known us and knows us, and as God has let us know Him and made Himself known to us and revealed Himself, and that in that knowledge is eternal life, that you and me redeem the time right now. And if we're suffering from neglect, you know the best way to get rid of it is to confess it. It's not my brother. It's not my sister, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. But it's me, Lord. I'm the one that needs prayer because I have not been redeeming the time. And because of it, I'm suffering. And because of it, some of my joy has leaked away. And he asked the question, how shall we escape if we neglect this great opportunity? The obvious answer is we won't. And God doesn't want any of us to suffer the pains of eternal torment. God wants every one of us to be with His Son in paradise and with Him in heaven. God wants to make our joy full and complete. He wants to have such a relationship with us that He's not ashamed to call us brethren. God wants to live in us, and my life and yours be a temple of the living God, a place of divine worship. So this morning, the jet's on the runway. The engines are revved. And somewhere between point A and out of sight, you and me are. I don't know where any of us are. But soon we'll take our long flight. We'll all be gone. We're going to somewhere. Lord, help it to be a place that we have prepared our hearts for, prepared our lives for, dedicated ourselves. Lord, I want that, heaven, more than anything else. You pray for me.